Our gospel lesson is found in the gospel according to John, beginning at the second chapter, verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. I have to say that this story, the first recorded miracle by Jesus that took place when he and his mother and his disciples were at a wedding, is one of the stories that I absolutely love. It's a moment in which there is revelry and laughter and joy. There's eating and drinking and talking and music and singing and dancing. It's a time when the whole community comes together to celebrate this new beginning in the life of two people. A wedding is a high time for everyone, and it doesn't get more human than that. And here is Jesus in the midst of the celebration. A friend of mine who is a pastor of a church in upstate New York once said that this passage makes her laugh, because she can't help but envision Jesus dancing and laughing and singing and partying with his friends. Now, to some, this may sound scandalous. We may think holy means somber and righteous means rigid. Sometimes we may think of God's presence being made known in our suffering, in our sorrow, or our struggles. Other times we may spiritualize everything so much so that nothing seems of this world. But this passage reminds us of the humanity of Jesus. In him, the divine took on human flesh and dwelt among us to be God with us. Here we are reminded that God is with us during the high moments and the lows, and everything in between. God is with us weeping over our suffering and dancing during our celebrations. Sometimes we are very aware of God being with us. We seek refuge in the shadow of his presence and are comforted by it. We drink from the waters of his spirit and are refreshed from it. But then there are those times when we live as though there were no God and we are not God's people. Many years ago, I was leading a Bible study with a group of teenagers. We were reading Psalm 139 and came to this verse, which reads, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Isn't that beautiful? Well, it's beautiful, but not to everyone. After reading this passage with my young friends, one of the persons said to me, does this mean that God is always with us? I said, yes. And with a horrified look on her face, she said, oh, no. Well, it is anyone's guess what lied behind that response. But the simple truth is, God is with us in our comings and goings, during our high moments and our low moments, and everything in between. Yet in the midst of this wedding celebration, there is something going on behind the scenes. A miracle is about to unfold unbeknownst to almost everyone that is present. A miracle is about to happen in a place and at a time when no one would expect such a thing. We often think of miracles as God's interventions during low periods in a person's life. We envision miracles happening when times are hard and life is tough, and we need God to reach down and pluck us up out of the mess that we have made or have found ourselves in. Or we are hoping that the Lord will carve a path before us when we can only see dead ends. If you have ever experienced a miracle or know of someone that has, you may agree with me when I say that because of them, we experience the Lord on a level that is beyond our realm of logic and reason. Through miracles, we are moved by a profound sense of God's mercy and graciousness and steadfast love. They lead us to respond with thanks and overflowing gratitude. And in miracles, we behold the glory of the Lord and are awakened to the truth that God is indeed with us. But no one would expect a miracle at a wedding, or even expect that there would be a need for one. And yet, there is Jesus and his mother and his disciples. And in the midst of the festivities, his mother Mary gave voice that something was wrong. We don't know how she knew. She may have seen it, may have heard it. But what we do know is that she knew that her son could do something about it. Parents know what their children are capable of. And Mary knew her son. She knew that no matter what his initial response might be, he would still be moved to intercede when asked. So she turned to Jesus, and in the way of parents, she said, they have no wine. Well, children also know their parents. You know how to translate those types of statements. Every now and then when I'm speaking to my mom on the phone, she'll say something like, well, you know your aunt is sick, and I know how to translate that to mean, you should pray for her. Well, she'll say something like, I was talking to your nephew. It's always your something. I was talking to your nephew, and he was asking all these questions. In translation, you should give him a call and speak with him. Jesus knew that his mother's statement, what his mother's statement meant, and responded that his time had not yet come. He had come to be the one who would save us. But the fulfillment of that would come at the end of his ministry, when the soldiers nailed his hands to the cross with forgiveness on his lips, he would breathe his last and die for the sins of the world. However, on this day, his ministry was just beginning. Only 3 days before the wedding, Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, where he saw the heavens opened, he felt the Holy Spirit descend upon him, and he heard the voice of God say, "This is my Son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." And only 2 days before, several men began to follow him with a desire to be his disciples. And just the day before, Jesus let them know that good things can indeed come from places like Patterson and Camden and Newark and even Nazareth, and that in following him, they were bound to see great things ahead. So Jesus told the servants to take the 6 stone jars that were there and fill them with water. When they did that, he told them to draw some out and to give it to the head master of ceremony. And they did this, and as they did it, what they were told, the master of the ceremony drank the water that had become wine and complimented the groom for saving the best for last. Everyone at that wedding experienced the gift of that miracle that day. Everyone at that wedding shared in the blessing of the Lord's bounty. Everyone had been given the opportunity to celebrate. And they did. But to them, this was not a miracle. To them, it was just really good wine. Maybe the best that they had ever drunk. But still, it was just wine. They did not see the glory of God through it, or the movement of God at work among them. They did not recognize it as a God moment, nor were they aware of how Christ had made something out of nothing, and had taken the little that they had and made it into so much more. I wonder sometimes, I wonder how often that happens in our own lives. God's glory is all around us, and we don't always see it. Maybe it is in the snow and the rain that's refreshing the earth. Maybe it's the plate of food that we ate. Maybe it's the life of the person sitting near you, or the greeting you receive this morning. All of these things may seem like nothing. Or maybe they're even things we complain about from time to time. But to another person, those very things may be the very thing that awakens us to the glory of God and draws them closer into God's presence. Now, brothers and sisters, may we be awakened in new ways to the presence of God who is all around us. May we seek to tune our ears and open our eyes to what God is doing in our lives, in our church, and in our communities. May we be people through whom the Holy Spirit uses to bless others. In the same way Jesus blessed everyone at the wedding, and most never knew what he had done or that it was even him, may we be filled with the Holy Spirit, and in being filled, be willing to bless others, even if they never know what we have done or ever see the glory of God through it. And may we give witness to the presence of God who is in the highs and the lows and everywhere in between. For the Lord is at work, even when we don't always see God's glory. Amen. Amen.